Ben Riga. I'm platform advisor on the Windows Azure Evangelism team. And today I'm talking with a couple more folks that have been working on Windows Azure and SQL Azure and building all sorts of cool and interesting things on the Windows Azure platform. With me today is Jones Pavan, who is lead architect, and Gurleen, let me get it right, Dawa. Gurleen is the development manager. Both of them are with CCH. Who is CCH? And what does CCH do?
So CCH is a tax and accounting company. And so we have software which is around tax and accounting and auditing. And we work with the top 100 accounting firms. So we are very much basically embedded into all these companies. And we have different kinds of products that we have. So it's sales tax products, income tax products.
So you build products for other accounting firms.
Correct.
Pretty exciting stuff.
Accounting
stuff. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
And numbers.
It can be.
Okay. So you've been working with Azure for how long?
It's been a couple of months now. I think around March, April. Well, we heard about it more than a year ago, right?
Right.
So we started taking it seriously around March or April when we were introducing to the TAP program. So from that point onwards, we have been working very closely with the Azure team and kind of working with them, trying to take one of our products, which is an on-premise product right now, and trying to put it in the cloud, right, and see basically what advantages we get.
So the product I think you've already built or are in the process of building and are close with is the sales tax calculation engine, right?
Correct.
And so let's talk a little bit about, actually, why don't we stop there? Because I think the best thing would be to actually show the product. Now, I know the product is an engine, and so it's this thing running out in the cloud. And so when you showed up, I said, well, how can we show this? And so we quickly, in 10 minutes, you built some interesting calls out to this web service engine. So why don't we do that? Now, I realize this is not the final product. And it's going to be a little bit raw, but I think Channel 9 developers will appreciate that it's raw code.
And that's, I think, what we're trying to show, that it's very easy to consume any service which has been basically deployed in the cloud. So I think that would be good for everyone to know that it's not too much different than what you have been doing while consuming your services, which have been hosted on-premise.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty slick that you have this web service up in the cloud, and in 10 minutes you were able to design a form and submit sales tax calculation stuff. So, okay, let's stop here, and let's move over to the laptop.
All right, so
what are we looking at here? Looks like it's Visual Studio, right?
It is Visual Studio, and one of the reasons why we selected Stowe is because we thought it would be a good candidate to be migrated to the cloud right off the bat. The application was already built using the concept of web services.
So you already had an application that was on-premise?
It lives on-premises. It was designed to live on-premises, and we're migrating it to the cloud. It wasn't designed to live behind the firewall at the customer site. So some of the challenges that we had to do with first of all, the application, because it's designed around the concept of web services, is already meant to be stateless. And statelessness is one of the things that we were concerned about when migrating an app to the cloud, because you may be in a box for a certain period of time and then be moved to a different box. The box may go down. We know that, that's an important consideration.
Okay. So let's have a look. And then we can come back and talk about it some more.
So we looked at the interfaces now, right? So we basically took our old interfaces, which were traditional web services, and we wrapped them in WCS services. The most important consideration, actually, when migrating, our biggest concern when migrating the application to the cloud had to do with an engine called Plex.
This application,
Plex.
P-L-E-X, yeah.
P-L-E-X. Plex is a computer associates tool. It's a rapid application development tool where you basically design your classes and that dynamically generates the source code for you. And that runs on the top of the Plex specific libraries. And we were concerned if those libraries would actually run successfully in the cloud.
So you migrated those over.
So we migrated those over.
All right.
So what we did was...
So these are all... What is it we're looking at here?
So what we're looking at here is, here you have our Task Cloud Services project. And you have a web role. And the reason why we use a web role and not worker roles is because we wanted communication to be synchronous. And we added all the Plex libraries as references here. Plex that'll be run being the most important one of them. And we basically made sure that they get copied to the server side. So not much was needed there. The other thing we had to do...
So what does this app do that we're running here? Maybe we can run that, and then that'll give us a better idea of what...
So that's in fact already running. right?
So this is just a web form.
This is just a web form. There's a sample web form that we built very quickly here just for demo purposes.
Sure, sure.
Right?
So this is something that an accounting firm would write.
Not the form. In fact, this will all run behind the scenes. Actually, the most typical use of this application is where the client is actually wrapped in a plugin that can be used by ERP system. So
this will
all run behind the scenes.
So this would be an accounting firm's ERP system that has a plugin that every time it needs to do a sales tax calculation, it actually sends out a web service call to your web service.
Correct.
And does a calculation similar to this. It wouldn't be a web form that they would use. In fact, right. It wouldn't be manually entered at all.
Well,
Right. And again, it can be anything. So that's the advantage of having a web service, right? So there are going to be many companies who are going to be using these ERP solutions.
Right.
That's a dynamics. But there are many companies which build their own homegrown solutions as well.
Sure.
So depending on what your business is, because it's a web service, you can consume it directly inside your ERP. So what we've done for that is we already built the plugins for end customers. But yeah, if you have your own solution.
So you've already built plugins for Dynamics AX, which is the Microsoft ERP product.
Correct.
But not every customer, much as I would love that, not every customer is running Dynamics AX.
Right.
Okay.
So because we want to hit all the different segments, so Dynamics is a very big, I think, business for us.
Sure.
So certainly if you are into other businesses or if you have your homegrown applications as well. Some people are still running on legacy systems because it's a service. Now, it doesn't matter which platform you come from. It's all services, right?
Sure.
So it doesn't matter how you consume it.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Right. So that gives a very flexible architecture.
Let's have a look at the code that's behind this. This is a pretty simple.
So if you want to run a demo,
basically, it
would load.
So you're opening up an XML file.
I'm opening up an XML file, and that will be the typical payload. That will be the typical payload. That will be...
Sorry if my camera's in your way here.
Okay. Probably hard to read, right? That will be typical payload that you get for the web service. You select the calculation type. And that's actually going out. We have the service side of the application running locally in the development fabric, but it's actually pointing to an instance of the SQL Azure database.
So you can see it's actually going off. It's sent a message. So right now this is sent a web service call, and at some point it's going to come back. It's doing a calculation out there right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. We have some.
So what we have done at this point is, so let's take an example of a Dynamics ERP, let's say CSR, who's taking an order, right?
Uh-huh.
So he's on a sales order page. Someone comes and says, I want to buy these items, let's say an Xbox 360, right, and some games.
Uh-huh.
So he's putting all that on the sales order form.
Uh-huh.
Once you're done, essentially you're saying, well, now I want to calculate the tax on it. So at that point, what we do is we take all this information, what you're buying, where you're buying from, what kind of customer you are, what kind of company you are. So it's a complex thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we take that back, and the service does all the calculation and results the breakdown of tax back to you.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So no matter where your end user customer is, you can figure all that out. Okay. So this has come back, right? I mean, obviously it probably...
It was the same examples before, so not much changed.
Oh, okay. So nothing's changed. So let's look at what the code was from... behind that to build that calculation?
Behind that, it was fairly simple. It basically
just a standard web service.
Just a standard web service because we had everything already wrapped as web services. We just had to, we decided to move to WCF where we got a little more flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
But the code didn't really change much. To our surprise, the amount of code that we had to add to the application was really minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And the transition was fairly simple. What we had to pay more attention to were things like, as I said, statelessness of the application. One of the things that we found out during the process is that Plex was caching the database connections behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was creating a problem because a SQL Azure database would time out after 5 minutes of inactivity in the connection.
So you had state problems. And
correct.
Yeah.
So we had to figure out how to ensure that we get a new connection with every service call.
Okay.
So that was one of the issues, and the other issue had to do with security, the application.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't I put this camera back, and we can talk about all those issues.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay, so we started. We saw the code, so I got a better idea. Actually, when we flip this down, we can talk about some of the things that you built. So you were telling me about security issues?
One of the considerations that we had was obviously security. The application was designed to live behind the firewall on-premise, and we're moving that to the cloud.
Right.
So we had to spend some time reconsidering what options were One of the things we started to look into was ACS.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, when we started to look into the application several months ago, we decided that the code for ACS was still a little bit in flux.
Uh-huh.
We didn't want to do any redevelopment for the app, so
right.
we decided to wait for a little bit. In the meantime, what we did was we pursued a dual-factor authentication model where we use a combination of X509 certificates to establish trust with the server and encrypt the communications and use ID and password on the side with message on the client side with message-based security. So, and the reason why we use message-based security is because we were already thinking about integration with the Windows Azure Service Bus in the future. If you decide to do that, message-based security will ensure that you have the security data flowing with every message from hop to hop is not point to point.
So everything is encrypted at this point.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Anyone taps in,
right?
There's no way to get to
not
that.
Only client side but also server side.
Right.
Some of the good practices such as hashing and salting user IDs and passwords on
okay.
the server side and things like that. Since that these IDs and passwords live in Windows Azure.
So in terms of architecture, sounds like you had very few changes in the architecture side. What about on the development side, Kareem? Were there a lot of changes or migrating the app?
No, actually, because it uses the same tools as we have been using before. So I think that's a very good point in terms of using a short cloud, right?
Right.
Because we use Visual Studio,
right.
we're using C#, so the language and the tools are the same. I think the only thing is for some development teams, it might be a shift in your thinking because now it's the cloud. You have to think stateless from
right.
the very get-go.
Right.
Now, some of the applications which are built on-premise, you don't think too much about being stateless.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly, it's something that anyways you have to think if you're building SaaS applications, but now you're going into a cloud with lots of VMs running underneath,
mm-hmm.
so you need to have your code being a little bit more robust because a VM might go in and out. So that was one shift, I think, just the thinking. Second is the database sizes. I think people right now have been used to having big databases. Now with the Azure Cloud, we have a 1 gig and a 10 gig SKU of the database. So certainly start thinking about data partitioning. Anyway, it's a good thing to do.
So you shard your data across different...
Right, so that's the upcoming thing we have to look at. How do we shard our database? For current applications, depending upon what kind of application you have, it might be a minimal change or a big change.
Mm-hmm.
Plus again, there is no way of saying you can't tell everyone, well, you just shard it like this. You have to look at what's your businesses, what kind of tables you have, and how the data is going to flow in your tables.
Mm-hmm.
So sharding might be based on aging process, it might be based on which tables are going to be accessed.
Sure.
So yeah, also two things I think, but overall it's a very easy. So all the data is right, just have the same environment. Now you're just posting everything to the cloud. And
right.
certainly in the last few months, Visual Studio has come a long way in supporting Azure Cloud natively. Especially 2010, I think it's going to be much, much easier.
So some of the, you've been doing this since, I guess, first saw it last PDC.
Right.
Took it, I guess you said in March or April, you started
uh-huh.
Real development.
Yes.
And I guess a lot of the things that you saw early on, those issues don't exist anymore.
Yeah, and that's a big plus, especially, so some of these things which we had, so when Jones was talking about the security piece,
right.
another thing which was the logging piece. I think right now there's a very good logging API which was kind of released very recently.
Right.
So when we were looking at it, we didn't have that facility. So we did a very simple kind of thing in which we had a database in the cloud itself.
Right.
So we were kind of putting trace files on there. But still it wasn't that hard because now you could use your local instance of SQL.
Are you talking about the logging for auditing purposes or diagnostics and monitoring?
I think because we were in the development phase, so most of that point was for diagnostics.
Right.
So very easy to do, but still I think now the capabilities have increased
sure.
a lot, right?
Okay. Diagnostic API.
Correct.
Another consideration is we wanted to have at the point in time more control over the logging mechanism
right.
so that we could write all queries and things like that.
Over the logging mechanism.
Oh, yes.
Right.
But from what I understand, the APIs nowadays are much better developed, so we'll probably go in a different direction if
right.
we were
right.
starting from scratch today.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending a few minutes
sure.
and showing this. I'll put some, when I write this up, I'll put some information in the show notes about where to see this and where CCH.com is.
Sure.
So thanks again for being at PDC and thanks for working on Azure and
thank
sharing
you.
Your experiences.
Nice talking to you.
Great.
Sure.
And thanks for joining us.